Meeting of the State Government Finance Division will come to order. We do have a quorum. Representative Bigham, have you read the minutes?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a motion?
I was ready to, because I read it myself in the
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. First on the agenda is Representative Kalin.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Kalin, do you have a motion for us?
I do. I suppose it would not be wise for me to move to adjourn, so instead I will move House File 680 for our consideration with a recommendation to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Representative Kalin, your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 680 is the Green Jobs Energy Efficiency Bill to put Minnesotans to work as quickly as we can. I think probably faster than we can do so with any other measure with our federal stimulus recovery dollars or any other program that that we undertake this year. The urgency with this bill is that within about 28 days of passage of this bill and signage by the governor, we can put Minnesotans to work. The community action partnerships are here and reiterated for me on Monday that the weatherization, yesterday I guess that is, that the low-income residential weatherization program is an ongoing existing program of great need. And literally within 28 days of passing the bill, they can hire new crews and within 45 days hire more contractors to be out in the communities that they serve, hiring from the communities that they serve, to weatherize these low-income homes and reduce our reliance on low-income weatherization or low-income heating assistance dollars. The focus of our hearing will be on Section 5. I'll give an overview of the bill here in a second. But on our state government buildings, we can put a couple of hundred electricians to work within weeks of passage, probably 45 to 60 days at the latest, replacing inefficient lighting in all of our public buildings around the state, including our state state government buildings. With me today will be Wayne Wozlowski from the Department of Administration, who has been doing the facilities management work, who can testify about some of the buildings and some of the projects that are tool-ready. You've probably heard the term shovel-ready more than you'd like to hear. Shovels are not required when it comes to energy efficiency projects. It requires wrenches and computers plugging into existing existing systems to tweak those systems and make them more energy efficient. I think this is a real win-win-win opportunity for the state because we can put Minnesotans to work very, very quickly. We can save our public dollars by reducing the energy that's wasted out of windows and up smokestacks almost literally in terms of losing our dollars that way. And it also, of course, is the from an energy perspective, it's the best way for us to increase reliability at the lowest cost and the least damage on the environment. In fact, this has a very positive impact on the environment. So, Mr. Chair, if I could walk through the bill quickly and then focus the on Section 5?
Particular focus on Section 5.
Thank you. The framework that you see in House File 680 relates to three pots of federal stimulus dollars that will be coming to the Office of Energy Security. The largest pot, we'll find out probably tomorrow the exact number, is likely to be between anywhere from about $138 million to $170 million of increased money for low-income weatherization. I want to just put this into context that currently we have 400,000 households in Minnesota that are income eligible for low-income heating assistance. If We can only serve, because of our limitation of resources, 165,000 of those households. Of those 400,000 income eligible households, we only weatherize fewer than 3,800 of those homes a year. It would take us over a century to tighten up all these buildings that we, as Minnesotans, have said it's important to have access to power and heat during the winter in these homes. It doesn't make sense for us to continue that. The weatherization funds are a great opportunity to get people to work and to tighten up those homes. From a conservative fiscal perspective, that fund comes to the Office of Energy Security and goes out quickly. We might be able to say bye-bye if it passes through to the community action agencies, but it comes through very, very quickly and gets passed through just as quickly. The two remaining pots that we'll be talking about are the state energy program and the energy efficiency and conservation block grant dollars. Roughly, there's about $55 million in the state energy program funds, of which when this bill returns to the Energy Finance Division, we will know the hard numbers and also know the appropriate numbers to appropriate for the activities of this bill from that state energy program fund. The EECDG, Energy Efficiency or Conservation Block Grant dollars, will probably total about $5.7 million. It's the state energy program and energy efficiency conservation block grants. I'm now going to say EECDG to save myself syllables, but you now know what that means. Those are the two funds that we'll be using in this bill specifically to do the state building renovation and energy retrofit. Section 1 is a new section of law that would establish a revolving loan fund so that the energy savings that is achieved during the 18 months of the federal stimulus action, some of that energy savings dollars are returned to keep the work continuing, so that we aren't just ramping up and spending a lot of money for 18 months and then done. We want to carry this work forward so that we continue to chase after every dollar wasted and every kilowatt hour inefficiently used in our public buildings. This has real ramifications for energy savings and tax savings, as well as property taxes for local units of government. Section 2 establishes an overarching framework for the Office of Energy Security. And if you look at Subdivision 2, you'll see a list in what will likely become a descending order. We're actually working on tightening up the language in the principles to follow for the Office of Energy Security in administering these programs. Primary and number one is, of course, maximizing job retention and creation for Minnesotans and Minnesota families. The goal of this bill is to replace unemployment checks with paychecks. And I believe that we can do that very quickly. But we also want to optimize energy conservation and reduce the demand and the burden on our electrical and natural gas system. We want that work to be cost-effective and achieve the maximum ongoing savings per dollar spent. That's a common sense piece that we have a strong framework of, but we want to reiterate that. We also want to make sure the projects are geographically distributed around the state, and I think that's important even for our state government buildings that tend to be concentrated here in the metro area. But we have university and MinSCU campuses around the state, as well as Department of Transportation buildings and others, where there are great energy savings opportunities. We want to make sure that it's not just Representative Simon and Bigham's communities that are benefiting from these investments, but that it's Representative Tiffmeyer and Representative Taft in my district, and even out in Crookston, that these districts are seeing real benefits from this work, and that Minnesotans are being hired across the state to do the work. We also want to leverage existing dollars. We want to make sure that we're not handing out Minnesota Care applications at the same time we're handing out job applications. And we want to make sure that we're complying with existing outreach requirements, especially the disadvantaged business enterprise outreach requirements. Section 3 is the weatherization component. I think I've talked enough about that piece. Section 4 is the local government and school district analog to or companion to the our piece, Section 5. So I'll actually just talk about Section 5 because it's a similar framework. You'll see in Section 5 reference to the state government portion of a bill that we passed last year that is now being implemented called the Public Building Enhanced Energy Efficiency Program, known as PBEEP, or the Roadrunner, if you say it quickly. I'll refer to it as TBEES. But the notion is Representative Coonan's school district may have a building, their entire school complex may have a total energy bill of $100,000 this year. When they start their project next year, that they will continue to pay a neutral cash flow cost of $100,000 a year for your utility bill, even though your energy bill, because of the energy improvements of a replaced furnace, greater insulation, better overall system of thermostats and energy management, that might drop to $60,000 for the year. But that $40,000 in energy savings will be the annual payment until the project is paid back. So your school district pays $100,000 the year before the construction and every year after the construction until the project is paid off. Then that $60,000 actual utility cost is realized by the building owner. The same would happen if it's a state government building. That's an existing program. It's a tax-exempt lease purchase finance mechanism. I think Representative Downey is probably looking with great interest because he probably actually understands that. I'm hearing it for the first time. The rest of us will have to hear it about 10 times. But it's a tax-exempt lease purchase financing mechanism where the energy savings pay for the capital cost of the improvement up front. It's actually quite an innovative piece. I only got to attach my name to it after everyone else had done the work. What my bill will do is say we don't want to take the federal stimulus dollars and replace an existing workable mechanism with a grant program that exhausts that money and doesn't have the project owners having ownership or skin in the game, as it were. So what we're suggesting is in my bill is that at least 60% of the cost of that energy improvement come from the existing tax-exempt lease purchase finance mechanism. So Representative Coonan School District will still have the skin in the game, as it were. But rather than paying $100,000, that bottom line can be reduced by federal stimulus dollars up to 40% of the cost, down to $86,000 would actually be the number, I believe. So there'd be a real saving for state government or for local governments under this bill, but we're not exhausting the state energy program or energy efficiency conservation block grant dollars. We're actually stretching them quite far. Further, that revolving loan fund will say that state government building energy savings, a portion of that energy savings has to be returned to this revolving loan fund so that the work can continue ongoing. That's the gist. I'm sure we'll have a lot of conversation about this piece, but that is the gist of Section 5. Section 6 is the window replacement companion to the weatherization. Because we are not allowed under the federal weatherization dollars formula, to replace windows. The payback is just too long right now when we're doing low-income weatherization. But we know that that from Red Wing up to my district, we have Minnesotans that work at Anderson Windows. And all throughout northwestern Minnesota, we have Minnesotans that work at Marvin Windows. And those that work at 3M and Cardinal Glass and other parts that make Minnesota the Silicon Valley of windows, that there have been hundreds of Minnesotans laid off, and we can rehire many of them and have those windows installed by carpenters who have a 35% unemployment rate if we can add windows to the weatherization component, and that way we're only in the home once doing the work. Section 7 addresses the training bottlenecks, that can arise out of a massive influx of infrastructure dollars and new work that's happening like this. For instance, we have 60 to 70 home energy auditors out there preparing homes for low-income weatherization work. We need to hire another 350 to 400, depending on the number that gets certified tomorrow. Without the home energy audit, we don't know the work that needs to be done in each home. So that's a clear bottleneck. The same is true on institutional energy auditors and certified energy managers. Further, we want to make sure that, again, that we are not just spending money and then putting our hands up and saying, we've done work, There's no need to make sure it's working. Building operator certification training is a short training program to take facilities managers and building engineers, what I think we called when you and I were in elementary school, Representative Winkler, as janitors, and actually give them the resources to better manage and operate the buildings that they work in. And I think that the average energy savings from even one certified building operator on a campus in northern Minnesota was about 23% from one, and I believe it's a six-week training. I'm hoping that heads will nod. It's a short training piece that can achieve great savings because you have folks who are in the building making sure the building is working as it should. And lastly, Section 8 is the accountability and transparency piece of the bill that I think we need to adopt as part of every stimulus package. Related to the specific projects funded, the number of jobs retained or created by each project, the average wage, the total calculated and actual energy savings, the non-stimulus funding leveraged by the stimulus fund, the status of this ongoing revolving loan fund. I believe that energy savings endowment will have to be reference will have to be corrected once we get back to the Energy Committee. The training courses provided, including the funding source and the total number of trainees, as well as compliance with existing wage and labor laws. That's the run-through of the bill. Lastly, before entertaining questions and actually asking Mr. Wesolowski to testify from the Department of Administration's perspective, I'd like to just lay out the steps ahead for this bill. The next stop, I believe, is going to be Representative Riccobina's committee with a referral down to Representative Mahoney's Workforce Development Committee to discuss in detail the training sections. And then obviously we'll have to go through Chair Riccobina's Higher Ed Finance Committee. And then I believe that Chair Greiling has expressed an interest in hearing the bill, whether it's an informational hearing or a formal possession hearing. And we're working out details with our advocates at the League of Minnesota Cities and others who want to make sure that we are helping to move projects off the dime at the local level by this incentive package that will net out real energy savings and real dollar savings for Minnesota cities and local governments. Then I think we will be returning to the Energy Finance Division. We had a discussion about the policy implications of this bill yesterday. We will then know more about the financial details and the appropriations, which will be added in that committee, and then it will go to, hopefully, with passage through all these stops, to the full finance committee, and then ways and means, and then to the floor. And within 4 weeks of passing this bill off the floor, we can put Minnesotans to work. That's the urgency here. We know the economy. We know the crisis before us. We know the state budget crisis before us. This bill helps us achieve both of those goals at the same time. I appreciate your patience, Mr. Chair and members, in walking through the bill. It is a little bit complicated, and I want to make sure that members understand it as best we can before we move to questions. With that, Mr. Chair,
Actually, Representative Kalin, I know that Representative Pepin has a question, although I would, Representative Pepin, first, I want to make sure we stick to Section 5. We will have the Department of Administration testifying, so if there are technical sort of department questions, they may be best directed once they've had a chance to come up, but
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, my first question was just about process. I'm trying to understand, it's going to hit all these committees, so the original motion was that it would go to finance, correct? So how is that going to work? It's going to go to finance, and then it's going to be re-referred to Representative Riccobina's committee, or it's going to be heard in finance?
No, I think it will be just re-referred to Riccobina's committee, and then it will be probably from there referred down to Representative Mahoney's committee, which is, I don't know if it's a division or a subcommittee under the Higher Ed Finance Division.
Okay.
You're not confused by this, are you?
I do have several other
questions. This is called the Magical Mystery Tour.
That's what I've been thinking the last few years. But I do have other questions, but I can wait till later after this.
And it will be heard by the full Finance Committee as well.
In the next stop?
No, once it's back from Lukavina. So, any other questions from members? I guess we'll hear from the Department of... Oh, Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Caitlin, just focusing on Section 5 for a second, does Section 5 have a cost?
Representative Simon, I personally don't believe so. I think that the energy savings pays for the full implementation of the PV program in and of itself. And with the traditional administrative support being absorbed by the duties of the department. But I'll actually ask Mr. Wazlowski to clarify whether I know what I'm talking about in answering the question.
Representative Simon, follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Caitlin, is how much federal money do you expect will come in and be and pertain to this bill? In other words, you're funneling or channeling through this bill how much money?
Representative Caitlin.
Mr. Chair, Representative Simon, disregarding the weatherization component, Chair Hilty and I are awaiting the signal or the actual hard numbers from the Department of Energy on the total appropriation that will come to this, that could be used for this this bill. I don't imagine for the state government building component that we'll be talking about much more than $20 million at the absolute most, and probably significantly less. We do want the geographic distribution as probably much more easily satisfied through focusing on school districts and city halls and county government buildings. But I think that's where the revolving loan fund or other mechanism to stretch these dollars further can really, we might be talking about, I don't want to put a number on the table without knowing what's coming from the Department of Energy, but I would say a maximum would be $20 million initial investment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one more. This is the first bill that I've encountered so far this session that has to do with the stimulus, and maybe other members have in their other committees. I haven't. So I assume this will come up with other similar bills, yes, if there are similar bills, and that is, what happens if we don't do this? If this structure isn't in place and we get that money, however much money it ends up being, what is your understanding of what would happen to us?
Representative Caitlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Simon. Mr. Shepherd and I had a good conversation around that question. Obviously, the weatherization dollars can probably be appropriated without action. I don't believe that we would have the direction or the authority to do the window match, which I think has the effect for hundreds, if not thousands, of Minnesota families who are helping manufacture those windows. On the state government side, I think it's unclear. First of all, I know that the PV tax-exempt lease purchase mechanism is an existing funding mechanism, but the actual energy savings for the state of Minnesota can't be realized because it has a neutral utility cost until the payback period is over. This would allow us to experience savings on the bottom line that can be used to help solve the budget deficit. I don't believe that federal match could be accomplished without this bill. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's clear that we need this bill to be able to do that. And we certainly don't have a revolving loan fund in statute to make sure this work goes beyond the 18 months. That's one of the critical elements of this bill that could not be accomplished regardless of any legal opinion as to authority today.
Representative Katz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question I have is on each of these sections in the programs that are detailed here. Are any of them going to be given almost a pecking order? That is, the ones that are going to be prioritized first to kind of realize job growth potential and things like that? Or is this just all going to move forward? I guess I would hope that we would look at a way to make sure that we are being the most cost-effective, as well as the ones that are going to have the longest repercussions are those that are state government building, trading in workforce development for future growth, as well as our schools.
Representative Caitlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Katz. I think it's an excellent question. I believe the most appropriate way to ensure that there's balance within the bill among the appropriate dollars spent will be to be careful about the proportion of dollars that are appropriated for each section. and that's how we'll be making the appropriations, is ensuring that the local and school section would get a certain percentage of the efficiency dollars from the state energy program fund, that $55 million, the same with the state government buildings, the same with the windows. I'm also conscious of the desire to not just do energy efficiency with those, with the state energy program dollars. For instance, there has been incredible demand for the solar photovoltaic rebate program. It's a citizen rebate that was exhausted within months of offering it. The stimulus bill will allow us to re-up that, and I know that all of you can think of constituents who would have some interest in making sure that that program is continued. It's not in the base currently, and with one-time money. So we want to make sure that we're doing as much as we can, that it's spread across each of the program activities without exhausting the funds for other uses.
Representative Kissmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On Section 5, line 4.11, there's a reference to the Office of Energy Security and Department of Administration. I know the Department of Administration does a lot of work in this area already, but I see the Office of Energy Security. I'm not quite sure. I've read through this bill, and so far, I may be missing it. I don't see where the Office of Energy Security, or is this a reference to something already in existence? I'm also seeing a lot of shall develop a plan and joint procedures and shall do this and shall do that and lots of these things. So, but the main thing is this Office of Energy Security. Can you point me in that direction?
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kissmeyer. The Office of Energy Security is the state energy office, and actually all of the energy functions within the Department of Commerce, I believe, that was renamed by executive order sometime in late 2007 or in 2008. So it is an existing office. I actually quite like the name, and I'm always cynical about the repackaging, but I think that it accurately reflects the mission of the office. So that's existing today. Much of what we're asking in terms of the planning and the joint procedures is happening behind the scenes already. In fact, to Representative Simon's question, I believe that the bill is needed for legal authority and to be able to authorize the spending of funds, but I certainly think that the collaboration is happening already, partly out of the instigation of the bill, but also because the public servants that are engaged in these areas are doing a phenomenal job of figuring out how to most cost-effectively stretch and invest these dollars.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Kalin. Question I have, though, is this going to, it seems like when I read through all of this, not just Section 5, it looks like a lot of work to be done. Are we going to consume energy by just hiring more people to supervise?
Representative Kalin.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, that question is one that I've thought a great deal about, and I know that others, both advocates outside of state government and our, I would say, advocates for wise energy policy within state government have been considering a great deal. If our activity is at this low point today, and then we spike up for 18 months, and then then the stimulus work is exhausted, or we're even able to do 30-40% because of that ongoing revolving loan fund activity. We don't want to create a bloated bureaucratic system as a result of the stimulus that then has to go be ongoing. We want to be smart, timely, and flexible, and that's why I believe most of the work that we're doing will be done, and you'll even see that the tracking can be to track the funds, and the work done is done through consultants through contracting work. We don't want to staff up and hire 100 FTEs to do this work and then have to lay them off in 18 months. We want to make sure that the maximum percentage of funds are invested directly into energy savings and financial savings.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then I would suppose then that this could easily be a bill that could have a sunset on it, since we're anticipating that. And I have not seen a sunset of this, because I can easily see where this just gets to be an ongoing program and has fiscal tails to it that is going to be something that we're going to really have to deal with down the line, and also helps, you know, if indeed that is the case, then let's put a sunset in here so that projected anticipation is there, and a sunset, then it will come back, if necessary, to the legislature, so we can have another look at it, And might you be amenable to that?
Members, there's an interference with somebody's phone. I don't know if or Mr. Lozlowski, it could be you. You didn't get the warning about cell phones. But somebody is interfering with our conversation here. So. Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Tipmeyer, I believe that the bill is limited by the availability of federal funds or related funds, and I will watch like a hawk the very issues that you're talking about as we go through this process. I would be hesitant to put in any sort of sunset because of the revolving loan fund and the opportunity to continue to reinvest these funds and continue to go after deeper and deeper energy savings. I would hate to see us stop that work. Let's say the sunset is in 24 months. I would hate to see us stop that work and not be and have funds in a revolving loan fund account dedicated to this purpose, and have to suspend all activity, cancel contracts, and then waiting for us to re-up and go back and do it. But I pledge to you, Representative Kumar, I will watch like a hawk to make sure that we are not adding unnecessary staff or unnecessary bureaucracy, that we are delivering programs and saving energy and tax dollars with this bill.
Representative Kipmeyer.
Just one final thing. Just I think that a sunset doesn't mean that you cancel contracts. It just lets people know that it has to be revisited again, and I think it would be a really good thing for us to include a provision of some sort, language certainly negotiable, that we talk about something that doesn't end up in a situation where we're committed down the line and we've forgotten and those days get away from us. And I have no question of your personal commitment, but there's no guarantees in life, and so I think when you put it in statute, it enables us to carry the sentiment forward into a reasonable way.
Representative Downey, you have a question. I don't know if it's specific to the Department of Administration and how this is going to work, but it might be beneficial to have the testifier from administration.
I can certainly wait. I think it's more on the broader issues, but let's go ahead and hear that.
Why don't you proceed and first identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Wayne Lefosky. I'm the Director for Real Estate and Construction Services for the Department of Administration. We oversee construction projects for a number of the state agencies, including here in the Capitol complex, as well as Corrections, Human Services, Veterans Affairs, and many others. Information is obviously still filtering in on the federal stimulus. We really don't have a good sense of how much money will be available for making any energy efficiency improvement projects to state buildings. This is Jeremy, actually, Representative Kalin actually has better information than I do. I haven't heard the $20 million mark. I'd certainly be pleased if that was our number. What we've done, though, in preparation, the groundwork for this has already been happening when the legislature last year passed the program, the Energy Efficiency Improvement Program last year, to give state government the ability to finance energy efficiency improvement projects through tax-exempt lease purchase financing. As part of that, the Department of Commerce transferred over to us it's going to be $1 million in total, and that money is available for us to do technical assistance, and that is the part where you go out and look at and identify what are the worst performing buildings from an energy standpoint, and where can you get your best return on investment, and it's doing the energy studies and any design work that's needed to facilitate the improvement. Once you have that technical assistance done and you've prepared your design documents, then we're able to go out and contract directly with financial institutions to get financing in place to finance the project. And that is, again, those financing agreements are to be paid back from energy savings. And so that obviously we're looking at projects that are very cost effective, that have paybacks ranging from anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years, even up to 15 years for larger boiler replacement project. As part of the obviously awareness that there's federal stimulus funding that was coming down the pipe, we've been working to streamline the process and how we would get the dollars out as quickly as possible while still being obviously transparent and meeting public procurement goals. As part of that, we're going to be issuing out this week, we're going to be sending out master contracts to 11 firms to do the technical assistance side of it. So we will have engineering firms under contract ready to go to work as soon as the money is available. We're also looking at alternative delivery methods from a construction standpoint. Obviously, you're hearing that there's very tight time frames related to the federal dollars, and so we're going to look at streamlined alternative construction delivery to help expedite the delivery of projects and, as people have been mentioning, getting people to work as quickly as possible. The three criteria that we're still waiting for the federal criteria, and obviously Office of Energy Security will be providing criteria, but generally speaking, what you're going to be looking at is projects that have the greatest opportunity for reducing energy use, for maximizing job retention and creation, and obviously for meeting the federal timeline. Those are what we think are going to be the general criteria that we need to operate around, and we think we're well positioned to do that. We've taken an initial survey of state agencies. We certainly have a long list of projects that state agencies would like to do related to energy efficiency. And as Representative Kalin has been mentioning, we certainly see combining the federal stimulus with the tax-exempt lease purchase financing as a reasonable mechanism for getting more projects done than we'd otherwise be able to do. So that, with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to respond to any questions. If you're interested in specific projects, specific facilities, we can also go into that detail as well.
Representative Downing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And actually, I don't think many, if any, of my questions are really around Section 5, so hopefully there's still germaneness here. But it really has to do with...
A certain amount of germaneness, Representative Downing.
So I had lunch with U.S. Representative Paulson today, who said that the 1,100-page stimulus bill that he voted on Friday hit his desk yesterday. And so I'm curious, kind of who's read the bill to really understand these funding streams, and maybe there's some, you know, advanced advice provided. But how do we know these funds are coming in the way that we think they are, and that we might not be back here in 3 weeks rewriting this bill to really conform to the stimulus bill?
Representative Kalin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Downey, I had an explicit personal conversation with Senator Klobuchar about 10 days ago in person. I was out at a Green Jobs conference. And actually, I had language in front of me that was language being considered, and spoke specifically to her staff member who was working on that language. That language has survived the process, and so we've known that language from the very beginning and been tracking specific sections. Further, our Office of Energy Security liaison on the recovery bill, Janet Streff, who's the director of the State Energy Office, which is a branch of the Office of Energy Security, has been engaged in conversations with folks, I think, daily, if not every other day. And Commissioner Kwan has also, who's the Deputy Commissioner of Commerce, Director of Office of Energy Security, in essence our lead energy person, has also been up to speed and working on these issues. I had an overarching conversation with Commissioner Hansen on the issue about a week ago, I think, when he was in my office. I feel have a high level of confidence in the people that I'm working with that work for the Plenty administration on this bill, and I think Mr. Weslowski, obviously being one of them, who's doing really fine work on the Department of Administration, but I think the Office of Energy Security, we could have added the appropriation language yesterday in Energy Committee and not had to come back. I think as much as I'd like to get this bill passed as soon as possible, we want to make sure we're doing it right, and I will dog that issue as well, and I will circle back with you once we are prepared to answer those or add the appropriation language to make sure that we have actually those funds. Lastly, on this issue, because I think, Mr. Chair, this is an issue that's a good question. The State Energy Office will, or the Office of Energy Security, will receive what's known as a Notice of Financials from the Department of Energy about the incoming appropriation, incoming language, and it will be that Notice of Financials as well that allows us to spend money even though we might not have the check in hand. I don't know the timeline on that Notice of Financials, but I do know that that we will have, the bill was signed today. I don't know if it's been signed yet. I heard somebody whisper yes. Thank you, Representative Bingham. So we have language to look at. We can make sure that we are doing everything consistent with the federal bill that is now law.
Representative Downing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I have the utmost confidence in Mr. Hansen and Mr. Guan, the Director of the Office of Energy Security. But I guess I'd maybe ask the question again. I mean, has anybody actually read the bill?
Representative Kalin, I presume you have not read the bill.
Mr. Chair and Representative Downey, I have read the House and Senate versions of the energy portions of the bill. I think I might even, I didn't bring my whole folder down. I actually have it in my folder. And read a draft of the Conference Committee report, but have not yet read the bill. I wanted for the signature to be on paper from President Obama to do the final reading of the bill myself, of the energy section.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Downey.
Has anybody, obviously there's some overlap here with education on some of the schools components here. Has anybody read the education components of the bill to understand whether there might be some overlap or maybe even conflicting strategies on the education side of the bill with what we might be proposing here?
Representative Kalin.
Mr. Chair, Representative Downey, I think that we are starting to take two steps outside of the confines or the purvey of this committee, but I do have to say that the fiscal analysts that work on our committees and the House research staff, I'm always surprised, which I think I probably shouldn't be at this point, but surprised at how much collaboration and cross-fertilization happens on the staff level as well as between members. And that is precisely why Representative Dreiling has asked to see the bill, is to make sure that we are consistent with the overarching approaches across the board. To be honest, Mr. Chair, I think that there could have been an argument made for this to be an Office of Energy Security bill and just to stay in the Energy Division. I've had members ask me why I would take this bill through this tortured path. And while I'm sure that I will regret it half of every minute that I'm in every committee, I think in the end it's going to make the bill better and going to make sure that we all have a stake in and input in putting Minnesotans to work through energy savings.
Mr. Chairman.
This is Section 5, Representative Downing.
Keeping
in mind that we'll have, there's more than one stimulus enacting bill, if you will, moving through the process. Much of the budget itself will be our reaction to the total bill coming out of Washington. And we have the Department of Revenue here to give an overview in 45 minutes left. So to the extent possible, I think we should try to spend our time here on Section 5.
Yeah, understood. And perhaps I'm displaying a little of my own bias, that there's a huge rush to pork here, frankly. And I know it was occurring out in Washington for the last two or three weeks with every local unit of government and every lobbyist in line trying to find out how they get their part of the stimulus bill. And I understand that we need to use this money and leverage it to the good purposes of the state of Minnesota. And I don't deny that weatherization, especially in state office buildings that I support, wouldn't be a good use of that money. But it feels a little bit like we're in kind of a ready, fire, aim situation here. So I wanted to clarify kind of the broader parameters of the kind of the nature of the overall process. So if I could, one or two more questions, and then I'll back off. Is that fair?
How about we
one?
Compromise at one, and then we'll go on to Representative Pepin to Section 5.
Three or four in the same breath.
I could try. I won't.
Well, I mean,
we're being asked to vote on a bill here, and granted, our purview is only Section 5, but the bill that sits in front of us I think is what we're voting on. So I just want to make sure I understand the process and make sure that we're not going to end up coming back here or having, you know, mismanagement and use of these funds in a way that everybody would be embarrassed by. I don't think we want another OLA report on our hands here. At least I don't. So my final question is, you mentioned the notice of financials. My original question was when these funds would hit, and you're saying that there's a notice of financials date. And maybe the real question behind the question, the question is, when is that date, if we know? And if we do know or if we don't know, why wouldn't we wait until we do know and then push this bill through when we have had a chance to really read and absorb and digest what's coming in the package?
Representative Kaler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Downey, and I think all members and members of the public, the issue before us is this bill. And so that, which has been public throughout the process and will continue to be made public and transparent, and every change that I have been working on, I have shared with the Republican researchers for those committees, and there has been and will continue to be plenty of time to look at the issue before us, which is House File 680. To be more honest, Mr. Chair, the option of going quickly through the Energy Committee and then through the Finance Division and passage off the floor would have put Minnesotans to work 2, 3, 4 weeks earlier. But the very points that you raised, Representative Downey, are the reasons that we've chosen to go through this tortured path, is to make sure that we are doing exactly what we want to do. But every day that we don't have these programs up and running at a larger scale than they currently are, and they're all existing programs. There's not a single new program other than the revolving loan fund that's created in this bill. We need to put Minnesotans to work, and we need to stop the waste of energy in our public buildings and of our LIHEAP energy assistance dollars in these low-income homes that need to be weatherized. Their urgency is the economic crisis before us and the tough decisions that are happening at kitchen tables all over the state.
Representative Downey, you're itching for a follow-up.
Well, the question didn't get answered. Do we know the date of the notice of financials? Because it seems like if that's June, then the ultimate kind of end date that limits our getting people to work and starting on this good work, which I agree is good work, is in June, not next week. So I'm curious, if we don't know the date, why do we have a broad parameter or a date or no date?
Mr. Chair, Representative Downey, the urgency of the Obama administration signature legislative achievements of this date makes me think that they're not going to let that notice of financials get held up till June. We're seeing an accelerated timeline on the administration and implementation of what is now law, Representative Bigham tells us. So I have a high degree of confidence that we will have the resources and be able to do this work. What I don't want to happen is to have the funds sitting available at the Office of Energy Security and not have the home energy auditors do the work and not have the energy managers out being able to do the assessments in our state government buildings. That's where the urgency is.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kalin. I have a lot of questions about the bill, and I see that I think that there are a lot of issues in here that still need to be addressed. But just for starters, I'm trying to understand the whole process and the rushing of the process. And I know you've tried to explain it a couple different times. In the beginning, you said that this was. You said something about that you just put your name on this, but I didn't catch who you said worked on this or who wrote this bill.
Representative Kalin.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin, just a clarification. That was what became Chapter 356. It was Senate File 3096 last year. That was the tax-exempt lease purchase financing mechanism we refer to as TV. That's what I was referring to, the innovative financing mechanism, where I had the honor of authoring the bill, but folks like Mr. Wadlowski and members of Office of Energy Security staff and others did the work. Not referring to this bill.
Representative Pepin.
So then, is this bill, would you say that this is the Office of Enterprise Security, is this their bill, they're signed off on this, they think this is good stuff?
Representative Taylor or Mr. Wazlowski?
Mr. Chair, I won't put Mr. Wazlowski as a Department of Administration employee in the position of speaking to the Office of Energy Security, but I will say is that in concept we have agreements with the Office of Energy Security. We are working out the details that will likely have to be amended when we get to the Energy Finance Committee that has oversight and authority for expending Office of Energy Security funds.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you. I'm wondering if you could help me understand this a little bit more, and I think since Chair Winkler mentioned we're going to probably have more stimulus bills come through, I'm trying to understand the guidelines, the federal guidelines, and I think Mr. Wazlowski talked about that we're waiting for the guidelines and we're waiting for the appropriation. You mentioned that you thoroughly read the section, but apparently didn't talk anything about the guidelines, the parameters by which we're going to use the stimulus money or the appropriation. Specifically, what I'm wondering, I guess I'll try to limit my questions here, but why, what is the purpose of the section that talks about, let me see if I can find it here, that talks about the limitations we need to have. And here it gives several stipulations as to, let me see if I can find it here.
I'll help you out, Representative Pepin. Probably Section 2, Mr. Chair.
I think you're right. I'm looking at a couple different spots here. But just generally, I guess I don't need to find it specifically, but I'm trying to understand why are we putting all these limitations? The earlier version, I think I read from the delete all, it talks about including without limitation energy programs described in sections 2 to 7, and then it talks about all these different things that we need to do, cost effective, geographically distributed. There's so many stipulations, and I'm trying to understand why we would put our own stipulations on this when we... one of the things that I think that a lot of us will have criticisms with from the stimulus package are the strings that are attached. So I'm not quite understanding why we would, before we even really know what the guidelines are, the appropriation, why we would rush to put our own limitations. And I guess I don't understand what that term means, without limitation, for one thing. And then I see a lot of inconsistencies in the bill. And one of the things that I noticed was a part that you talked about being geographically distributed, and then later, in a different section, it talks about we're going to especially target communities experiencing disproportionately high rates of unemployment, low-income rural tribal communities, construction trades and crafts, skilled labor unions. And if it's going to, I would guess the latter part, is not the same as geographically distributed. I think that most areas that are disproportionately low-income it would be a conflict of your earlier statement. So if you can just help me just overall with the process, why we're rushing through this, why this went through. I know this already went through energy, and my understanding was that the members on the committee had very short amount of time to see it, and now it's apparently going back here again. I'm not understanding what the rush is, and we don't even know the appropriation, the guidelines, and then why we're putting all these limitations on it, and we're limiting to energy efficiency with, seems to me, very little thought about what else this might be used for. I just think that there are so many problems with this bill as it is, and I fear that this is just going to rush through and we're going to make a federal government size disaster such as they did last Friday.
Representative Palin, was that your own editorial?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin, Section 2 provides broad discretion to the Office of Energy Security. There are not guidelines. There are actually, they are stated as principles for the allocation and expenditure of those stimulus funds. They are stated that way to provide that flexibility, but to provide some legislative guidelines. The section that you read from refers specifically to training, recruitment. It says the director shall attempt to recruit individuals, and then the section that you read. I believe that they are entirely consistent. And lastly, again, I wanted to correct the record. If anyone uses the term that the process is rushed. Again, I personally chose at the request of some chairs and sometimes even to the puzzlement of some chairs to bring this committee, or bring this bill to as many committees as might have interest in the subject. The process, the bill is not being rushed. It's transparent. I have provided copies of any change in advance to partisan research on both sides, and will continue to take input from members on both sides as the bill proceeds. I just have to ask members to recognize that the process is anything but rushed, but actually is taking some time to be deliberative and thorough, so that the work that we do create is work that is balanced across the state and does result in real energy savings.
Representative Tevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Kalin, for giving me the opportunity to clarify what I mean when I say rushed. When I talk about it being rushed, what I'm talking about is we don't even know what's in the bill. Maybe you've read it, maybe you could provide that to us, but as far as I know, we don't know what the guidelines are, we don't know what the appropriation is. And I just met with Congressman Paulson, who tells me he didn't even get a copy of the bill that was this big until yesterday. So when I talk about being rushed, I appreciate you going through the motions of putting it through the committees, but I just don't see how we can start passing legislation when there's so many things that are still up in the air.
And Mr. Chair?
Was that a question?
I do have a question. I mean,
Mr. Chair, I just...
Representative Kalin, let's go on to the question. I think we've addressed the topic of speed.
Right. I'll ask just a couple specific questions about the bill, and I'll have more questions, and I think I hear this in the committee tomorrow too, so I'll come up with different questions for that committee. Could you specifically talk about the definition of without limitation? In the version I have here, I think it's the old version though. It was in section 2.9, but that might not be the current one. And then could you talk a little bit too about some of these specific titles, energy manager, what is that? Is that a building operators, these things, are these going to be new programs, ongoing jobs? I'm just trying to figure out how that works, because this is a stimulus package, so it's a one-time fund. So I'm trying to figure out if we're going to be training energy managers, unless perhaps there are these things exist already. But how do we keep it going after the stimulus package is done?
And Representative Kalin, I think you can try to address that, Section 5 especially. And as those other sections of the bill apply to Section 5 and the specific Department of Administration role for state buildings.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin, I will actually defer my answer on Section 7 and, until the Training and Workforce Committee, just because I think that we'll have a much broader presentation on those existing training programs that are referred to in this bill, of which the Building Operator Certification Program is currently offered at Rochester Technical College, and the Certified Energy Manager is actually a nationwide, essentially a continuing education certification program for experienced or professionally trained architects and engineers. And so I'm happy to direct you to that information, or we'll provide some tomorrow. Lastly, I'll just point out, Mr. Chair, that when I read the sections of the bill relating to energy, I went to the House Appropriations Committee website and downloaded the copy. I think I did that on Saturday, probably Friday. I believe so. I may have had a copy emailed to me that was downloaded from that public website. So the text that I read was, or the report that I read was the public report, and then the text I read, I think I got, let me go back. The summary I read on Friday was off the website, and the text was on yesterday morning from the public website. So it's all publicly available, and I do encourage members who have questions about the bill, the federal bill, to do what I did, and that is to read the public documents and to read the bill.
Representative, I think this is Mr. Wozlowski. I have a question, if you don't mind me jumping in. Representative Pepin.
Actually, I was just going to ask if he could provide that, because I've actually tried, and I haven't been able to. If you have access to that, that would be great. Perhaps staff could bring that specifically for the next committee hearing. That memo, it would be really helpful, I think.
I represent Kaylin, why don't we work with our committee staff to provide that at the next hearing or earlier. The question I have is the energy savings in Section 5, where, you may have addressed this, where does the, can we book any of those savings in the current biennium, and where would those savings be booked? Would it be to the agency with the savings? Would it be to the Department of Administration? Where might that money go? And Mr. Wozlowski.
Mr. Chair, members, I'll talk about it in two parts. One related to the existing program, the PD program, which is the tax-exempt lease purchase program. Initially, obviously, that any energy savings would be needed to pay back the debt service on that financing mechanism. So when we're talking about a 60-40 split potentially between tax-exempt lease purchase financing and the federal stimulus, certainly on the we have to pay back the financing, so that comes from the energy savings. There's a couple different ways of looking at the federal stimulus dollars. You could, and I think the bill references this, you could shorten the payback period. In other words, if you had $1 million project and you had a 10-year payback on that, if you take the federal stimulus dollars, you potentially could reduce that payback to you borrow less money and reduce the payback period. After the any financing is paid back, then it would just go to the agency that's managing the facility. Notwithstanding, there's also the proposal to create a revolving fund, which I think we're still in discussions on how that would work and whether that could work. There's a requirement for 30% of savings related to the federal stimulus to go into essentially a revolving fund so we could continue to do this type of work on an ongoing basis.
Thank you. Representative Sanders?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kaylin on line 4.12 says that they develop a joint plan and joint procedures to select, fund, and implement projects using stimulus funds. My question is, are these projects, are these the types of jobs you're talking about that will get the unemployed, or, you know, are these the types of jobs that you're creating with these projects under this bill?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative Sanders, I was actually... I'm looking at the DE2 amendment and I'm not being gross, and so I don't know if I'm on the right. So I was too busy trying to find the reference.
Section 5.
I see the joint plan and joint procedures. If you could just repeat the question.
Sure.
Sorry.
Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Where it says that the joint plan and joint procedures to select, fund, and implement the projects, are these projects the types of job creation that you're talking about with this bill?
Representative Kaylin.
Yes. Mr. Chair.
Representative Sanders.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kaylin, at a point that Representative Pepin was hitting on is the stimulus package dollars are one-time dollars. So are these projects viewed as a temporary or project-based type of employment for these workers?
Mr. Chair, Representative Sanders, almost all construction work that happens at this scale in public buildings, especially state buildings, it's accomplished through contracts with private contractors. So they are, by nature, contracts that have an end date, that are project-based. I'll also point out that the Department of Administration will have no FTEs, no staff uptick related to their portion of implementing this bill.
Representative Sanders.
Mr. Chair, on a different note here, used in a few places like in 4.14, terms like cost-effective, and then another like Section 6, 4.23 and 4.24, low or moderate income households. How do you define terms like that, and how, you know, who's basically going to have the authority to determine what those terms actually mean and how they're implemented under this bill?
Mr. Chair and Representative Sanders, the term cost-effective I'll actually point you to, I can't remember who, Representative Downey referenced another OLA report, but an OLA report from the Conservation Improvement Program in 2005. It's got a good, concise 4 or 5 page discussion of the cost-effective measures. I believe they are the utility, the social, the ratepayer, and I can't remember what the fourth cost-effectiveness test is, but they're very standard cost-effectiveness tests that are currently used to determine the term of art that is used to determine whether energy-saving projects will indeed show a return on investment. We could have a 3-hour discussion on cost effectiveness, but I don't know that it's, that we need to do so, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kipmeyer? Yeah, Representative Kipmeyer.
I don't want to bump anybody. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Kalin. I just want to affirm again, because I had my question ready, and then it seemed like it was answered, and I just wanted to make sure. Is that the Office of Energy Security and the Department of Administration will not take any of the stimulus funds for the ramping up and the maintenance and all the project costs? They will take none of the stimulus money. They will absorb this totally within their, whatever their budget may be, in OES and Department of Administration, so that the stimulus funds can entirely go to the efficiency or so on and so forth.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kipmeyer, and I think this was the Representative Simon's earlier question. Department of Administration, our office received, in the 2008 bonding bill, we received approximately $105 million in bond funds to make capital improvements. We have project management staff that is in place to do those projects. Similar when we were looking at the PVEP legislation from last year, and the same question came up, do you need additional staff to implement this project? No, we're going to be able to do it within our existing staff. And some of the things that I mentioned at the front end on how we're looking to do this as efficiently as possible, we as I mentioned, we're issuing master contracts this week. That'll make our contracting process go much more efficiently. So there's some streamlining and efficiencies that we're putting in place to try to utilize existing staff. If it's an additional $20 million, we certainly see that as being able to be managed within our project management staff.
And Mr. Chair, I know that Representative Kipmeyer asked about the Office of Energy Security. From a fiscal conservative perspective, there may be a greater cost and inefficiency to contracting out the administrative services of tracking and performing all this work, as opposed to bringing on employees who will be dedicated to this project for the terms of the stimulus funding. That's the question I think that I have not yet seen the revised fiscal notes from the Office of Energy Security. I know that they are working on it, and I will again pledge to you, as I will with every bill that I carry, that I am a hawk on making sure that every single dime that we can spend on program delivery is spent on program delivery. But we want to make sure that we are tracking the effectiveness of the programs and that we have an opportunity to tweak them as they go. That tracking does take a little bit of time and resources. We want to do it with the minimal resources necessary to do so.
Representative Kipmeyer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Kipmeyer, I will renew my offer. We work together on a sunset provision so that we make sure that this just isn't an ongoing tails. We've dealt with all these tails going on, and just, you know, if it is one-time money, then let's recognize it as one-time money, and one of the most efficient ways to do that is to put a sunset provision of some language that would allow us to not waste anything, but also make sure that we don't continue something that the legislature has a great program where we start something, ending it is really difficult. We ended up with just lots and lots of programs that just go on and on and on, sometimes long past their usefulness, and we end up with duplicative situations, multiple things, and we have to have managers to manage them all. So let's make sure we don't start that here.
Any further questions from the committee? Any testimony from Representative Downing?
I thought you were going to ask for a vote, and I just wanted to confirm whether we were voting for HF 680 in its second engrossment form before us or whether we were partitioning our votes to simply vote on Section 5.
Representative Downey, we will be voting on the, I guess it's the committee engrossment of the entire bill. And there are members of the audience who wish to testify for or against the bill? If not, Representative Kalin renews his motion that House File
680
be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Members, we were to hear from the Department of Revenue in an overview for the rest of our time. They decided, and we decided, to wait until Tuesday when they could come back, hopefully with the commissioner, and get going on the matters before us from revenue, including their new IT, their big IT project. But if there's no further discussion, the meeting is adjourned.